Parental discretion advised. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Geo's Passion, where some of the names have been changed to protect the innocent and not so innocent. Enjoy the ride.
What's up, Geo's Passion Posse, GPP, and the place to be. I'm bringing you this podcast from my GPP studios in Tampa. Welcome to Geo's Passion. My name is Jack, and I am your host. So as I always start off, I hope everybody's doing well. This episode is going to be a little different today because there's a lot going on in finance, and I know some of you are involved in crypto, so I'm going to hit you off with that. As many of you know, I do crypto, I do stock, and as a bunch of you probably do too. Well, it looks like the U.S. government is trying to control an asset class known as crypto that was built specifically for the purpose of not being controlled by the U.S. government, okay? Or any government at all. That's, you know, that's neither here nor there. So that led to the crazy news that just hit us more, more on that in a minute. But I just want to tease you with something. There's a new episode coming out in about a week after this one, and we're going to have a surprise guest on that one. I don't know if you guys and gals in GPP can know who I did a quick interview with here in Tampa. Stay tuned for that episode to come. If you know who that is, leave me a comment on the question below. I'm going to ask, as the question is going to say, hey, do you know who the guest for GPP is? And if you do, then you will get a round of applause. Of course, because GPP is smart, so we'll see what's up. But don't forget, you can sign up at geospassion.com, G-I-O-S-P-A-S-S-I-O-N.com. Once you put your information and your email in the box, you'll be on the newsletter, the emailing list, and I'll send you notifications of new episodes and other events that are taking place. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to the podcast no matter what listening platform you're on. I'm working on getting 2,000 subscribers, and we're up again, and I currently have 974. So let's build Geo's Passion and Geo's Passion Posse to take over the airwaves. All right. Yes, let's do that. So as I said, Thank you. I appreciate that. As I said, there's an issue going on in the finance department, and I don't like it. The crypto crash. Gary Gensler and the SEC against crypto, Coinbase, Binance. Woo! Come on, let's go! The other day, I woke up to a notification from Robinhood on my phone. The investing platform Robinhood sent that notification, and it read, as I follow this, it says, so we have decided to end support for Solana, Polygon Matic, and Cardano. Solana known as SOL, Sol, Polygon known as Matic, and Cardano known as ADA. Key dates to know, on June 26, 2023 at 6:59 p.m. Eastern Time, we, meaning Robinhood, will halt withdrawals of Sol, Matic, and ADA from Robinhood. On June 27, 2023 at 6:59 p.m. Eastern Time, we will halt trading of Sol, Matic, and ADA. Any Sol, Matic, or ADA still in your Robinhood crypto account after the deadline will be sold for market value. The proceeds will be credited to your Robinhood buying power. And that's how it is. So this was the message I received from Robinhood. Luckily, I only have Polygon or Matic, as I told you in previous times, and not much of it. You know. So once I read the message, I sold my Matic knowing it would crash, because that's exactly what it did. And it wasn't just Matic that crashed. It was pretty much the whole crypto market crashed. But of course, you know, maybe to buy it on a different platform later on in the future at a cheaper price. So what caused this notice? In an article by Cointelegraph, it reported that Binance and Coinbase have been targeted in a new round of lawsuits by the United States Securities and Exchange Commission against the crypto businesses. The regulator pressed 13 charges against Binance on June 5th, including those involving unregistered offerings and sales of a token and failing to register as an exchange or broker dealer. All right. So it's like, yeah, what the is going on here? I think they're full of and they just want to get, you know, crypto under their control. So here we go, you SEC. Anyway, so again, it involved those offerings, unregistered sales of token. Okay, so now, and it said the company, Binance, failed to register as an exchange or broker-dealer. So the commission also went after Coinbase. And you might be saying, Coinbase? Wait a minute. Coinbase has a stock in the stock market for Coinbase. Yeah, they do. They do. But the commission also went after Coinbase on similar grounds, alleging that the popular cryptocurrencies offered by the exchange are securities. Trading volume across the major decentralized exchanges jumped 444% in the hours following the legal action. Notice how it says the trading volume across the major decentralized exchanges jumped. It didn't say that they took out a whole bunch of money, which is what they did, but it jumped. There was 444% more activity in the decentralized exchanges after that, okay? After those legal actions that was taken by the SEC. In the months, in the 6 months after FTX, so those of you who don't remember FTX with Sam Bankman-Fried, Sam Bankman-Fried, FTX's bankruptcy, the SEC crypto-related enforcement actions rose 183%. So after FTX screwed everybody, after making a, you know, donations to political campaigns, including Joe Biden, and then screwing the small people, the SEC said, you know what, the hell with you. Now we're going to enforce up to 183% more. So they've been really, really, really heavy handed on their enforcement lately. So there was an interview with Mr. Armstrong, who's the head of Coinbase. And, you know, he's a CEO, and he says, hey, Brian Armstrong, what's going on? So Brian Armstrong sat down with it for an interview with the Wall Street Journal on June 11th, just days after the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission filed a lawsuit against Coinbase on June 6th. The SEC alleges that Coinbase has been operating a securities exchange, broker dealership, and clearinghouse without registering with the commission. Now, this means that SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, is going against these platforms for which they say is illegal action. But Brian Armstrong, the CEO of Coinbase, you know, said, hey, we did things right. You understand? We did the right things. So he says, this isn't rocket science. And I'm confident that the United States will achieve regulatory clarity, even if it takes a while. So he's trying to say, yeah, you know, you guys at the SEC are full of crap because as, you know, as a exchange traded fund or exchange traded stock, Coinbase, you know, we have to follow the SEC rules. And the SEC is saying, well, you know, we're not going after that. We're going after those other little tokens that you have, Polygon, ADA, and Solana, you know, and some other ones that are not so major. And we're going after that as because your staking, you know, is a security. It's not a cryptocurrency in the sense that it does not follow the guidelines of the, you know, for the SEC rules. It's all garbage. It's all bullshit. It's all for the government to try and control your money. Okay. Cause Gary Gensler said it. He goes, we don't need, you know, we don't need this money from elsewhere. We don't need this cryptocurrency. We got the US dollar and electronic form if needed. And we have Japan. Now that was a big telling there when you said we have Japan. So I like to see what the hell's going on there, but the battle between the troll-looking Gary Gensler and the crypto world is crazy. If you look at a picture of Gary Gensler, he looks like Gollum from The Lord of the Rings. He's like, yes, my precious. You'll see him. I'm serious. Look at him. He's like, hello, my precious. Yes, thank you. I have the power. No, but anyway, Gary Gensler earned his undergraduate degree in economics in 1978 and his MBA from the Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania, a very, very prestigious school. As we know, former President Trump went there and his kids also. Gary Gensler's background is he's a former Goldman Sachs investment banker. As we know, the U.S. government is filled with these former Goldman Sachs investment bankers, partners, managers, all this other crap. Okay. So they're the ones who run, you know, the Fed, you know, they're the ones who run the institutions when it comes to the U.S. markets. And the thing is, you know, they're in the White House, they're in the Congress, they're in the Senate, and they're in these major corporations. And based on their moves is what the U.S. government does. So you ever wonder why, you know, like maybe Lehman failed, why Goldman Sachs wasn't doing so hot, but Lehman failed and everybody else was saved because maybe Lehman was Goldman Sachs competition? Very interesting. There's a book that that I have, an audiobook, and I forgot the name, but just Google audiobook on Goldman Sachs. And I think it's The Age of Golden or something like that. And it talks about how you know, Lehman and Goldman Sachs originator were friends. They were friends. So it's a lot, bro. It's a lot of history there. But anyway, so Gensler's a former Goldman Sachs investment banker. He became a partner in the mergers and acquisitions department. He headed the firm's media group. That's why when he's out on TV, he hams it all up. He does these good presentations that you're like, wow, maybe what he's saying is correct. Maybe what he's saying is right. You know, he's so great. Yes, he's the best. Yeah, Gary Gensler is awesome. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. So, you know, because that's him. That's his background. He led fixed income and currency trading in Asia. The only U.S. currency you need is the one. I mean, the only currency is the one in the U.S. and Japan. He's starting to get a picture. And he was the co-head of finance responsible for the firm's worldwide controllers and treasury effort. Worldwide. One coin, one currency, one world domination. Come on, people. If you haven't heard about this, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's legit, okay? It's legit. Or legit. All right. And then after all that, he became a professor of practice of global economics and management at MIT Sloan School of Management. And while he was there, he was very well versed in cryptocurrencies. That's how come he can do and say what he's doing now, because he actually knows what he's talking about. So his manipulation and his media presence is causing trouble for the crypto market, because he knows about crypto and he knows about the media. So you put those two together, bam, all of a sudden, crypto's crashing. So let's see what becomes of this battle. All that said, remember that a cold wallet is better than the risk of having your own crypto in the hands of a platform that at any time can be shut down by the SEC or corrupt entities. So stay safe, invest wisely, and enjoy the ride. Woo! Yes, let's go, let's go, let's go. I tell you, I don't know what's happening. Well, I know what's happening. Everybody knows what's happening. You know, they're trying to control you more and more. If it's not this, it's that. And if it's not that, it's this. And I'm telling you, man, we got to wake up. We really, really got to wake up. And this is not a political, it's not a political rant or anything like that. But man, you know, with what's going on, people are going to start losing more money and more money. It's not even about a recession. Now the student loan stuff is going to be coming back. And, you know, those who had extra non-discretionary funds are going to be screwed. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. So we'll see. And pretty soon, you never know, you might not have enough money to buy, like, I don't know, sports tickets, you know, to go to a game or something like that. And speaking of a game, one of the biggest games for the year is going to be the All-Star Game. As I stated previously, it's being played at T-Mobile Park in Seattle, Washington. The game will be held on July 11th, and the 2023 Scott's MLB All-Star ballot is up, and phase one of voting is underway. Don't forget, you can vote up to 5 times a day until June 22nd to pick the starters for the July 11th Midsummer Classic at T-Mobile Park. To vote, you just got to go to MLB.com/all-star. MLB.com/all-star. So let's vote for those New York Mets, those Tampa Bay Rays, and those New York Yankees. Let's get our people in there. Currently, the Mets are in fourth place, and their record is 9-5. I'm sorry, record of 9-5. They're 9.5 games back with a record of 31 wins and 34 losses. There was a thing I saw the other day on MLB that teams in this position at this time of year. Three of them have hit the World Series. So there's always hope. But if not, my American League, the team I support for the American League, the Tampa Bay Rays, are currently in first place with a record of 47 wins and 20 losses. The Yankees are in third place with a record of 38 wins and 28 losses. But that's only 8.5 games back, since the American League East has the best record in baseball. How crazy is that? I mean, I think the worst team in the American League is still better than some of the top teams in the other divisions. So that's always a good thing. It's a big game, big season. We'll see what happens with that pitch clock thing happening. So little by little, people getting used to it. And who knows? You never know what's up. Now, according to AAA, the price of fuel in Tampa is currently an average of $3.48. And it's around $3.72 in the Bronx, New York. WTI crude oil is $70.17 a barrel, which is down $1.12. That's why gas has been going up and down, up and down, up and down. But, hopefully it stays down. And then wintertime goes down even more. It would be great. The U.S. dollar index is 103.55, and the United States dollar equals 93 cent euro, and the United States dollar equals 80 cent pound sterling, which remains the same as last week. So, we're doing okay. We're doing all right. I still remember a couple of months ago when one U.S. dollar equaled $1.25 euro, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to get some money. I'm going to get euros, and that didn't last long, and I never got the euro. So what are you going to do? That's life. So now in cryptocurrency, yes, the price of Bitcoin is currently around 25,763, which is down about maybe $1,500 to $2,000 from last week. Ethereum is currently down to $1,741. Solana is down $15.24, and Cardano is 26 cents. So Cardano has been hanging around 38, 39 cents. It's 26 cents. It's gone up about 10% in the past day. Yeah, so it went down like 20%, went back up 10. I mean, so it's a volatile thing, but it's there. So now the price of Tesla is $243.88, which pumped $26 a share in a week. And Starbucks is $98.01, which is down. Finally, for El Tigre de Tampa, Eduardo, Eddie, gold is $1,974.60, which is up by about $12.90 in a week. And that's not bad. So even though I had to remove Polygon from crypto, I still have Bitcoin and Litecoin and stocks on Robinhood. So, they play the game that the government plays. And sometimes, you can't stand it, but sometimes you stick with it because, again, like Tesla's pumping, I'm making money. So, if everything goes well, we'll stay there. And then as it starts going down, we'll pull out. So, as much as you may like it or don't like it, if you still want to go with Robinhood for beginner, don't forget to sign up with my Robinhood link in the description to start your account. We both get a stock and it helps start growing generational wealth. And like I always say, at the beginning of my, the ending of the financial section. Yes, I know. Calm down. But always remember my legal warning and notice. I'm not a financial advisor. Only spend the money you feel comfortable to lose. And my comments in this entire finance section is for entertainment purposes. What? Only. Yes, only for entertainment purposes. All right. So, I know, calm, stop. All right. I got you. But, so things are still up and down. But that's how it's going to be. We're not going to have a big rainbow and a big pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, because the way things are going is just rough. So I just I just saw some promising news in this section, the housing section, that I'm going to tell you about. That if it comes true, it'd be nice, and I'll start making more money selling homes again. But we'll see. So some of you have asked me recently, what's the difference between APR and interest rates? Now, Forbes.com does a simple explanation, and is as follows. The interest rate is the cost of borrowing money, whereas the APR, annual percentage rate, is the yearly cost of borrowing, as well as the lender's fees and other expenses associated with getting a mortgage. So your rate is 6.25%, but your APR is 7.14%. What? How does that make sense? Well, yeah, 6.25%, but you got to pay the interest on that, the fees on the mortgage write-up, the lions, the tigers, the bears, oh my. So then it goes up. That's why some people could qualify for a 6.25% loan, but when everything kicks in and everything gets finalized, that 7.14 breaks their bank. It breaks their bank, so they can't do it. So because of that, they can't do it. So now the APR is the total cost of your loan, which is the best number to look at when you're comparing rate quotes, okay? Some lenders might offer a lower interest rate, but their fees are higher than other lenders with higher rates and lower fees, okay? So you'll want to compare APR, not just the interest rate, like I just said. In some cases, the fees can be high enough to cancel out the savings of a low rate. So again, if you're getting a 6.25% rate, but their fees come out to 7.14%, damn, that's a lot, you know? But if you're getting a 6.25% interest rate loan and the APR is 6.5, that'd be better than the 7.14. So we'll see what's up. But mortgage rates today, the average APR fell on a 30-year fixed mortgage today, slipping from 7.14%. Slipping to 7.14% from 7.15. At the same time, the 15-year fixed mortgage APR sits at 6.58%. Last week, it was 6.65%. So again, remember what I was telling you. Here we go. Is the 6.58% is the 15-year fix. All right. And then the 30-year fix is 7.14%. And rates are quoted in APR, annual percentage rates. That's how the rates are quoted. So, you know, again, what's this guy's name? Freddie Mac, might give you a number of, 6.55, and you're like, oh my God, 6.55. And then you go to the bank and it's 7 something. You're like, what the hell just happened? That explanation I gave you, that's what happened. It's the APR. It's not just the interest, it's the APR. So now the average APR on a 30-year fixed rate jumbo mortgage sits at 7.20%. The average APR on a 5-1 ARM is 7.86%. And last week, the average APR on a 5.1 ARM or 5-1 ARM was 7.78. So if you want to break it down and look at it and see what it's like, you got the 30-year fixed loan. The interest rate is 7.12%. APR 7.14. Monthly P&I. P&I is principal and interest. So the monthly principal and interest per $1,000. I mean, $1,000, I wish. Per $100,000, and not even a wish on that. But per $100,000 is $673. So if you got a $300,000 house, you take 673 times 3. That's your principal and interest. Now you got to add insurance and taxes. So you got PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. PITI, PITI. So it would be the 673 times 3, okay, for a $300,000 house, plus taxes and insurance. So that's why, some people can't afford it. Some people cannot afford it. So now, again, on a 15-year fix, you have an interest rate of 6.55% and the APR is 6.58%. Their monthly P&I per $100,000 is $874. Now, on a 30-year jumbo, the interest rate is 7.19%. The APR is 7.2%. And their monthly is 6.78. And then finally, an ARM adjustable rate mortgage of 5-1 is an interest rate of 6.04%. The APR on this is 7.86%. And your monthly payment of principal and interest is $602. I got this information from Forbes.com. the advisor section, and they got their source from bankrate.com. It's always good to check things out and to see what's going on. Now, mortgage rate forecast through June 2023 from Forbes advisor on Forbes.com is positive, okay? I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to tell you what they think, and it's pretty cool, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to happen. So The experts are forecasting that the 30-year fixed rate mortgage will fall to within 5 to 6% range in later 2023. I was watching a YouTube video the other day that said, and I think it actually was CNBC, that if the rates go down to anywhere near 5%, the housing market is going to blow up. It's going to go, it's going to get hot again. And then at that time, when they're going to have more buyers who are qualifying, more buyers out there, they're going to have more sellers, and the market's going to blow up. It's going to be like the home prices for supply and demand are going to jump up even higher than they are now. And except the thing is, the prices, though they're going to be high, the customers or the buyers will be able to afford it because the interest rates are lower. Okay. So, later on to 2020. Okay. Though some predict it might go higher. Again, you know, you got those people, yay, nay, whatever, whatever. So the average 30-year fixed rate mortgage was 6.71% as of June 8th, down from 6.79 a week prior, according to Freddie Mac. There you go. It was Freddie Mac. I thought it was Fannie Mae. Experts expected the Federal Reserve's ongoing monetary policies to continue to put some upward pressure on the mortgage rates. Though with the Fed signaling that they may soon pause rate hikes, a downward shift in the mortgage rates may soon come. While mortgage rates are directly impacted by U.S. Treasury bond yields, the Fed's action to contain inflation by hiking the federal funds rate tend to push the mortgage rates up. So that's what's going on. I got this at www.forbes.com/advisor/mortgages/mortgage-rates with the letter S. So as I tell you, there's a lot going on. People are looking for positives at the end of the year to say, hey, you know what? The housing market is going to pump. We're going to look good. Everything's going to be great. So we'll see. We shall see. We shall see. We shall see. So again, don't forget, if you have a good story and would like to be interviewed for the podcast, please reach out to me and we'll collaborate. I've had a couple of you reach out to me on the Anchor podcast section with the questions and answer some of those questions. I'm going to have those questions answered for you in an upcoming episode and probably even talk about those. Don't forget, next episode coming up hopefully next week sometime, I'm going to have a special guest on there who decided to come to Tampa and talk to me for a little while. So it was very, very interesting. And again, if you want to be interviewed, you know, I got this new thing. It's wireless microphones with noise cancellation, and you put it on a person, and I have it, and it sounds great. So the interview that I did for next episode, there's a lot of background noise, and you hear some of it come over in the interview, but in public itself, it was way louder than that. So that worked out pretty well. So again, I want to hear from you. Okay. I want to hear from you. Record a greeting on the podcast. If you're listening on Anchor, hit the message tab and record a message. If you're on Spotify, click the episode and right below the green play button, you'll see a tab that says, send me a recorded message. Okay. And on any other platform, just copy and paste the message link and hit enter. All right. Cause in the description, I put a link for the message recorder. Wow, man, I'm blanking out. For the message recorder. And all you got to do is just copy that and put it into your PC and stuff like that. And it'll open up and tell you, you know, what mic you want to use. And just send me a message. Or you can do that in the link will pop up in your cell phone. Click that button. It'll ask you what you want to use. And boom, just leave me a message. All right. That's what we're about. We're about getting out there, getting to know people, doing interviews, telling you, you know, it's not always about romance and life, you know, and love. And this time it's about finances. And a lot of you, you know, hey, you're at that point where, yeah, man, you're about to bust out. And then, oh crap, the government's trying to hold you back. So I'm going to let GPP know, Geo's Passion Posse, you're out there. I got to let you know what's going on in crypto, what's going on with the stocks, what's going on with love, what's going on with life, liberty, and the pursuit of your happiness. All right. So now I got to tell you, remember, you don't have to use your real name. Okay. At the end of it all, you do not have to use your real name. Why? Because like Geo's Passion motto says, some names have been changed to protect the innocent and not so innocent. Enjoy the ride. Thank you, GPP. Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode of Geo's Passion and the Geo's Passion Posse. Shout out to you guys and gals. Don't forget to follow, subscribe to the podcast, no matter what listening platform you're on. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, and many more. Don't forget to follow Gio's Passion on the social media scene with Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and my YouTube videos. I'm working on getting 2,000 subscribers and followers. I am almost there. So hook a brother up, all right? Let's build Gio's Passion and the Gio's Passion Posse together. I thank you all, and remember, like I always say, some names have been changed to protect the innocent and not so innocent. Enjoy the ride. I'm Jack. I'm your host, and I'm out. Peace. Woo! Let's go.